KXLU 88.9 FM in LA, KXLU.com all around the world. We are broadcasting from the Loyola Marymount University campus. The sun's about to set. My name is Mystic Pete, and you are listening to the Mystic Pete Chronicles. Thank you so much, Ernesto, for another great show. I love hearing your music every week. Tonight, one of my favorite guests, friend of the show, Mark Porter Zasada. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Pete. Great to be here.
We did a show in July featuring some of your very novel and compelling ideas, and this is going to be edition number two.
All right. All right. Part two of Quests, Ladders, Rivers, and Beads.
All right. All right. So, should we just dive in? Or?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
Let's dive right in. So, for those who may or may not have tuned in last time, I'm working on a book about the mysteries of success and failure in the modern world. And Pete is helping me think through some of those ideas here, right here on the air. I have some theories about breaking down our concepts of success and failure. And let me start by just saying again that I think our concepts of success and failure are very modern and very unique in history. I think at a certain point, people didn't think in terms of their life being a success or failure. They thought in terms of preserving their honor, doing their duty, and so on, regardless of the level of society they were at. Perhaps the aristocracy had some of our ideas about success and failure, but not the common person. So a lot has changed since the Industrial Revolution, and we're not going to repeat all that history again this week. We're going to dive right into breaking down our concepts of success and failure and trying to step back, and hopefully by stepping back, freeing ourselves a little bit of the stress and the regrets that come with those ideas.
So you're saying there's been a tremendous shift in consciousness from a few hundred years ago when it was all about like honor and pride and family and tribal pride, but there's other things happening now, other priorities.
I think that people have begun to see their lives as a kind of story arc. That might be the influence of novels and Hollywood. But perhaps a life as a kind of bell curve where you're like rising up to some kind of peak and then tapering off. I don't think people used to think about it that way. I think they saw different duties and honors at different times of life. And I don't think they looked at an entire life in that way.
Or even had the free time or perspective to consider such lofty ideas.
I think that's true. Partly that's because people were more fixed in their place in society. And with capitalism, people began to be freed up to hit the heights, to look for the heights always. So I think that in our time, we kind of obsess about success and failure. We talk about people as successes and failures. We talk about their momentary success, their 15 minutes, whatever. But I don't think that was always true. And I think it's important to step back and take a look. So let's dive in. What I've done is try to develop a vocabulary to talk about success and failure in modern terms. And I've done a lot of thinking about this, and I broke it down into four paradigms. And I think if you try to catalog any endeavor, you can actually fit it into one of these four categories. And they are quests, ladders, rivers, and beads. So what I'd like to do is introduce each of those very briefly and then dive into them one at a time and kind of really try to understand our thinking and the positive and negatives of each of these together. All right? So quests. Okay, let's start with quests. Quests are the most obvious kind of goal that you can measure success and failure. It's a movement from point A to point B, right? And most Hollywood movies are structured around some kind of quest that the hero goes on. Whether or not they understand that quest in the beginning or it is thrust on them later, or they change at midpoint, still at some point they see a purpose to their life, which is very specific and becomes a quest. Now, our heroic quest may at different times and for different reasons be a good marriage, happy children, a musical career, directing a movie, love, security, success. It doesn't have to be the founding a software startup. It doesn't have to be becoming a Hollywood star, although everyone is encouraged to find a dream and go for it. People didn't used to be encouraged to do that, okay? That's kind of a new thing, right? The important thing about quests is that the adventures along the way are relatively unimportant compared to the final outcome. And we'll talk about a lot more of that when we get into quests. But let's move on and learn about the next paradigm.
Well, so quests. But this is very common in mythology.
Oh, absolutely.
From Luke Skywalker to Beowulf. There's a quest. Somebody's searching for something. Joseph Campbell called it the hero's journey. Right, okay.
Right.
So this is kind of the historical perspective.
So success and failure of a quest is very easy to measure, right? You can tell whether you achieved the quest or not, supposedly. And there's a reason that myths and stories are based on that, because they create a story arc from a beginning to an end. But let's talk about the others, and we'll get back to quests. And by the way, there's no judgment here about quests being good or bad. I'm just trying to understand them. So, the second paradigm, ladders. Ladders are a very modern phenomenon, and you have to say that ladders, so on a ladder, you're not aiming at one particular endpoint in your life. You're not on a particular quest. Instead, life consists of constantly climbing up or stumbling down many ladders simultaneously. Your education, your career, your parenting, your spiritual improvement plan, your weight, your fitness, your coverage of different motivational videos. Wherever you are on each ladder, there's always a point higher and a point lower. And it's possible to keep track of where you are with degrees, awards, income, accomplishments, specific things accomplished along the way, buildings built. And importantly, I think, the ladders concept, which is also a pretty modern invention, a Western invention, I think, is really what built Western civilization. The constant improvement in scientific knowledge, the constant improvement in law, in techniques of all kinds. Those are all ladders that people have set up and which you can easily judge progress against. In a lot of ways, a lot easier to judge progress than a quest in some ways. You could epitomize it by the saying, are you improving every day in every possible way? And that is the lifeblood of motivational speakers, life coaches, and so on. Not to mention your boss, who's looking for continuous improvement. That's ladders.
Part of the quest is how we climb up. And I just want to point out one of the big ladders, one of the big arcs of consciousness is morality. So
sure.
There's a moral ladder. I think that's this overarching progress of humanity.
Well, so that actually brings us to the next paradigm, because morality and the progress of humanity is not, in my mind, a ladder. For that, I use the paradigm of the river. The river is not about you. The river is about humanity, about others, keeping the river moving through history properly. Religions form rivers. Political movements form rivers. Nations can be rivers. In fact, historically in ancient times, nations really were thought of as moral rivers. A nation lived or died morally with its gods as a whole, right? As a river through time. And so in the river, it's not about you. You are contributing to the progress of the river, but you're just an eddy, a wave. You're pushing it along. You are part of a group. Rivers are about groups. And that can include raising children and families and contributing to your church and to the government and building roads so that civilization continues. Those are rivers.
Gotcha. I see.
And the last paradigm, before we kind of dive into each one, are beads. So beads are not about continuity. Beads are about moments in time. Beads are about creating a string of beads of beautiful moments. And those are accomplishments also. Those can succeed or fail also. So you arrange a dinner party for friends. That can be a success or a failure. It can be, but it's a bead in time. It's a beautiful moment you are trying to create. You can go for a walk on the beach, and it can be a bead in time, a beautiful moment. Or it can be ruined by somebody, you know, walking by with and arguing with you. But beads are the foundation of all art, music, beauty, the moments in our lives that we remember. And beads are often, once we get into it, the things that we remember most in our lives. And I must say, often, like when you go to a funeral, beads are the things people talk about mostly. The chat they had with their father, the smile of their mother, and so on. Those bead moments are also things that we aspire to. So there you have it. Those are the four paradigms, and I have had this conversation with many people, and I challenge them to find an effort in life that doesn't fall into one of those categories. Now, that doesn't mean to say that those are the only categories, that people pursue only one of those, but I want to talk about that question too.
All right, we're going to have a little musical break.
Okay.
This is by John Denver.
Ah.
And if you know the name of this tune, I don't think you do, but it's one of my favorite tunes, and there's going to be a quiz at the end of the show about what the name of this tune was.
Wow.
Throughout Los Angeles, you'll get an email. Okay, I'll tell you, John Denver, The Eagle and the Hawk. Isn't that
right?
A pretty tune?
I love that song. And yes, I've heard it.
You will. Mark Porter Zasada with a talk about quests, ladders, rivers, beads, rethinking success and failure in the modern world.
All right. So we introduced the four different paradigms of success and failure. Now let's dive into them deep. Okay. We're going to start with quests, of course. And so let me ask you, Pete, do you think that each person has a underlying purpose in their life that they need to fulfill?
I think some of us are aware of it. But no, I think I would say yes. I mean, it may be just to get a new set of mag wheels for your truck, but yes.
I don't know about that, but I think that it is a kind, to me, it's a kind of modern conceit that there is such a thing as each person having individual purpose in life.
Okay.
It's something that is preached about a lot by religious people all the time. And it's really the underlying assumption of most movies, most Hollywood movies. Anyway, my assertion is that this concept is something that was really developed in 19th century novels and brought forth now in every Hollywood movie, where basically the protagonist starts out confused and kind of backhanded in life. And then somewhere about halfway through the movie, they discover their true purpose that they need to fulfill. And that might be becoming a concert violinist. It might be becoming a great father. It might be whatever, but it is a quest that they're given. And so one of my assertions, by the way, is that I think Hollywood writers are the most religious people on earth.
Okay. Good.
All right, let me explain that. So Hollywood writers, first of all, believe that God is, that every person has this hidden purpose, and that God is going to arrange the events in their life to bring out that purpose. That, you know, when they get angry, there's a storm that arises. And then, you know, a bus passes at just the right moment to prevent them from crossing the street so they find the love of their life. That God is, in fact, intervening at every moment to bring people their quest and help them fulfill it. It's a wonderful thought. It's something we go into darkened theaters to experience, because the idea is that every moment has meaning toward the fulfillment of a purpose that's given to you. And as I said, sometimes the purpose isn't discovered till the middle of Act Two. Sometimes the purpose changes dramatically in Act Three as they understand the true circumstances. But basically, there's something they have to, their purpose has to be fulfilled. They have to become them fully this exceptional being. The problem is that there's two problems with this. The first is, what if they get hit by a truck in Act Two and they never get a purpose given to them? That happens in real life. You could set out to become you could discover your talent as a violinist, and you could get hit by a Mack truck and never be able to play the violin again. Does that mean that you've failed in your purpose in life? Or does it really mean that life has lots of different episodes and lots of different purposes as you go along, and that your goal is to become a good person regardless of the circumstances? Is it really true? And if you fulfill your quest, is it over? Is life like reach this peak where you hit, you know, when you're 45, you hit that, and then the rest is kind of irrelevant? Is that really the way life works? Is that really right? Hmm. You have to admit that we're so all living in this dream of hidden purpose, of that we have this thing that we have to fulfill, that it causes a lot of problems in our lives.
You're causing me to really think this through. And I think when people are just trying to survive, and they've been just trying to survive for generations, just surviving is the purpose, but they're not thinking of it in that sense. They just want to make enough money to pay the rent, you know. But when there's a little bit of free time and plenty, then maybe it becomes this more grand scheme.
Well, I think part of the problem is that we're told as Americans that everyone can have a grand scheme. And it's kind of true. A software programmer can become a billionaire. A garage band can make it big. A blogger, a YouTuber can become a millionaire by just like talking about their pets. It's actually possible. But of course, it's not actually possible for the great majority of people. The problem is that everyone is presented with these dreams of possibility.
Yes.
And the terrifying thing is actually possible. So it's very hard to say, no, it's impossible for me to achieve that because, yeah, actually, maybe it is. But it drives us crazy because actually only 0.00001% of people can hit those heights. So those are quests. And I think I'm not saying that it's wrong to have a quest. It's not what I'm saying. But I think that part of what I'm trying to do is to get people not to totalize themselves on a particular quest, ladder, river, or bead.
Explain totalize.
So totalize is a term that was created by a philosopher named Levinas. I can't remember his first name right now. But that basically means you can totalize yourself by becoming nothing but your quest or your love or whatever. Other people can totalize you by seeing you only as a soldier, only as a religious nut, only as whatever, and not a complete human being.
When everything you do is your quest, this kind of monomaniacal approach to life, it can be very distorting.
Yes. I think it's true of all four paradigms, not just quests. But certainly the people who achieve greatness usually are pretty monomaniacal on their quest. And I've met some great people, some people who are great with a capital G. And it's kind of disturbingly true.
So they're psychopaths.
No. Okay. No judgment here. Okay.
Some of the big
There's a
success.
Danger of that. And if you think about actually most tragedies, most of the great tragedies, okay, Shakespeare, the Greek tragedies, the common understanding is that the what causes the tragedy is hubris. I would, that they believe in themselves too much. Actually, in my opinion, my humble opinion here, I think what happens is they become totalized. They see themselves only as a jealous lover, only as a soldier, only as a king, only as their ambition. And they discount all the other purposes in life, and that destroys them. So I think there's a danger that quests, ladders, rivers, beads, we can talk about how that fits into all of them.
Well, what about ladders then?
All right, let's talk about ladders. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more deeply about ladders and what that means. So ladders, as I said, are achievements that don't have a particular endpoint. There are achievements that you're always working on to improve. You may go up, you may go down. So everything from your weight to your reading a lot of books, to getting better at your job, to improving your love life, whatever it is, they're ladders. And as I said, ladders are really what built Western civilization. There are the people on the quest to build the first jetliner. And they have that vision. They have that quest. But then there are thousands of people who are working in the background to figure out each tiny little piece of that first airliner. And they're on ladders. They're on continuous improvement. They're trying to make things better all the time, right? So whatever you're doing, countries, visiting countries, building buildings, launching new markets, creating new artworks, can be ladders that you're on. Okay, ladders, I think, dominate a huge amount of our thinking, and it's that improving every day. Modern companies are built on the concept of continuous improvement. There's this thing called Lean Six Sigma. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's the way that companies try to get their employees to think. Like, nothing is ever good enough. Nothing is ever, just doing your job is never good enough. Everything has to be improved at all times.
Lean Six Sigma.
Yeah, yeah. It's basic. It's a long thing, but.
Well, Greek letters always make it seem more important.
Yeah, and a lot of people, when I was in the corporate world, which I was, we talked about it all the time, though we never really understood what it was.
But yeah, let's extend ourselves for the success of this toothpaste company, because they're so important to the progress of humanity.
Well, it's that each little task that you're doing could be done better.
They whatever want you it is, to believe that.
Yeah, whatever it is, you could do
profits.
It better, right? But that thinking, you laugh, but that is what built all of this around us. The medical systems, the hospitals, the cars, the iPhones, everything. We are in this constant state of improvement of everything.
Oh, fair enough. I'm getting a little communist here, because the employers want us to take their profit motive to heart and care about what they're producing, when they'll be fired the next day if somebody better comes along.
So, part of this stress of this philosophy is that this idea that everyone has gifts that they start with, and that they have to develop those gifts continuously in order to justify their existence on Earth. This is a highly stressful concept. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it is the seed of so much regret in people's lives that they wasted their gifts. Just think how powerful that thought is. I wasted my gifts because I didn't improve them and build on them constantly.
Let me make a personal comment, then I'm going to hear a little bit more music, and then, is that ladders?
That's a lot. There's more and more we can talk about all these things.
Yeah, of course. This is a book.
It's a book. It's
you
got
to go buy the book to hear the whole thing.
Well, I got to write the book first, and then you can buy it. But we're writing it right now.
Can't we have an AI write the book?
Oh, that's true. We save a lot of time.
All right, so my personal comment is, so my dad always told me he wanted me to do something that I liked in life, something that I had passion for. But all the things I had passion for, he always shot down because they meant nothing to him, in the arts and all this mystical BS. But I did have a vision when I was a teenager of a better world, and I thought, in a few years that would happen, or I would help that to happen. Decades later, I'm going, it's a little bigger project than I anticipated. But that's been guiding me all these years. It's kind of like, I know what it is.
Well, we're going to talk about a better world with the next paradigm, which is the rivers.
Here's some music by John Fahey. Thank you. KXLU 88.9 FM in LA, KXLU.com, around the world, Mystic Pete Chronicles. Mystic Pete here with my guest, Mark Porter Zasada. That was music by John Fahey, F-A-H-E-Y, from his anthology called The Return of the Repressed. And that tune was called Poor Boy. If you haven't heard every single piece by John Fahey, this is, my listeners, this is your homework assignment. Double-spaced, one-inch margins. We're expecting a report on this next week. John Fahey.
All okay. Right.
Now it's time for Rivers.
All right. So we're talking about the four great paradigms of success and failure: quests, ladders, rivers, and beads. Let's talk about rivers. So the river paradigm, again, is not about your achievements over time or your perfection of individual moments. In fact, it is not about you at all. In the river paradigm, your individual existence is less important than your place in the current of some great river flowing through human history. The nation, the religion, the movement, the family. You are but an eddy, a swirl, a brief urge in the current. And it matters little whether you make a name for yourself before you die. In fact, making a name for yourself is kind of frowned upon in the river paradigm, right? Your own success or failure comes only to the extent that you contributed to the river. So what do you think? Are you a river person? Do river people scare you, Pete?
Wow. We're getting real personal now.
Yep.
Let me think on that one so I can say something intelligent instead of continually embarrassing myself publicly.
Well, let me just say that being part of the river is really kind of out of fashion here on the west side of Los Angeles. It's a very traditional viewpoint. But if you go to the Middle East, if you go to many, there are billions of people in the world who would say, yeah, it's all about the river. It's not about me. It's about my tribe. It's about my family. It's about my nation, right? Those people going off to war willingly, eagerly, on missions that we might find dubious are, in fact, thinking of a great river in history that they're part of. That's the way they see their lives. Now, one of the important things, I mentioned before the Mack truck test. Okay, I think it's a very important concept. So the Mack truck test is, what if you were suddenly hit by a truck and cut off from your purposes? Which of the four paradigms makes sense and which don't? So if your life is all about a quest to like become a great artist or whatever, and you're hit by a Mack truck in the middle of it, life really seems pretty absurd. If there's a movie that ends in the middle of the second act, it just ends, you're not happy. Ladders actually survive the Mack truck test pretty well because since there's no ultimate goal in climbing the ladder, however high up you make it, great. If you're a 5-year-old and all you learn to do is tie your shoes, you accomplish something.
Yeah.
Right? The river probably survives the Mack truck test extremely well. Because if you're a housemaid and you keep the house clean, you're contributing to civilization, no matter how long you do it. If you keep your family fed and your family thriving over time, you're contributing to the river of your family, even if you only do it for a few years, right? Whatever, if you go to church or synagogue or mosque and you pray as part of the effort of your people to pray, you're doing your part, even if it's only for 10 minutes.
Well, I think there's civilizations where that's all there is. There is no I. It's all about your community, your family, your tribe, your religion, your elite. It's about them. You know, the nail that sticks up gets pounded down. I mean, there is actually always an I. Everybody's always, you know, thinking about themselves, but in the greater perspective, it's the group. It's an embarrassment you're humiliated if you do it for yourself. It's what will celebrate and build up the community.
So,
and I think if you go further, the further back in time you go, the more that is the rule.
So you speak of the other parts of the world, because that is not a value, a primary value here on the west side of Los Angeles. And I think it's very important to understand that most novels, most movies created by Hollywood and by the West in general are about breaking out of the river paradigm. Well, let me put it another way. Not most. Let me say that it's a fundamental common theme for someone to assert their individuality against a traditional viewpoint. So they were brought up in a very traditional religious home. They break out of it. Their parents had a certain plan for them. They break out and become rock stars. We celebrate the rebel every time. Even like police who don't follow the rules. Everyone who breaks out and doesn't follow the rules, even if they kind of commit crimes along the way, we forgive them because they're breaking the paradigm and asserting their individuality. Yeah. And it's, you got to think about it, it's kind of a propaganda that we do as Westerners, and particularly as people who write books and make movies and so on, that is kind of trying to convince much of the world that the traditional viewpoint is a mistake and that people should assert their individuality. But you're right that over time, that has been the trend. There's no question about it.
And going back to tribal times, you all die unless everybody is focused on the survival of the tribe. It's survival.
Yes.
I mean, you have to devote yourself to the well-being of the group. And again, it's shameful if you don't.
And people were shunned or thrown out of the tribe if they didn't follow the rules. We don't do that so much anymore.
We celebrate some of these iconoclasts.
We celebrate almost all the iconoclasts,
and the
right?
rule breakers.
Most movies celebrate iconoclasts. Most newspaper articles celebrate iconoclasts. You can open any feature story, and it's all about how the artist is an iconoclast, how the person who develops a new company is an iconoclast. We celebrate people who are true jerks who are iconoclasts all the time. Picasso was an iconoclast, and he was a jerk.
I guess so.
Most reports say Steve Jobs was kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Pee
Wee Herman, I mean, he was like a brilliant genius, but I recommend his movie that just came out, a documentary.
Oh, I want to see that.
But he was kind of a jerk, too.
But
brilliant.
Brilliant, right.
Thank God he lived.
So, again, no judgment. This is trying not to be judgmental. It's trying to understand that there are quests, ladders, rivers, and beads, and that in much of the world, it really is all about rivers. And we, to our confusion and detriment, don't often understand that about other cultures or about the river cultures within our own country.
So I have an answer before we go into the next one.
Sure.
Both. Am I a river person or not? Both.
Okay.
I am.
I think that's good. And I think that, and we'll get there. I think the more I think about this problem, I think that people actually need a balance of these four elements in their life. But we'll get there. Let's move on and try to dive into the string of beads paradigm. So, again, the beads really stand apart from the other paradigms in a very significant, you might say, Eastern way. In the beads paradigm, again, one does not attempt to construct meaningful journeys or measured ladders or the currents of great rivers from the events of one's life. One does not try to see one's story merged into a greater story. In the beads paradigm, each day or hour, each distinct event of human life exists on its own, as if strung like a bead on a string. It's something that a lot of Eastern disciplines attempt to achieve by living in the moment, by experiencing the present tense. It's a struggle to do that. And yet, we really treasure those moments in our lives when we are completely in the moment and we see the beauty of the moment. During a birthday party, when we see our kid blow out the candles, or walking on a cliff above the sea, or listening to an exquisite piece of music, when we are completely in that bead moment and we work to create those rightly. Like each of the other paradigms, it can also have its drawbacks. Some people go obviously too far into living in the moment. They don't plan ahead. They don't create a retirement fund. They smoke pot all day. They destroy their lives by not thinking forward and planning and creating ladders and quests and working toward the rivers of other people. It can become solipsistic. It can become all about you and the beautiful moments that you create. And there are a lot of people who advocate, you know, devoting yourself to beads. Interestingly, some of the favorite people in your life might be bead people, because they're the funnest people. Right?
Sweet.
Right? They're the people who really devote. They're the musicians and the life of the party and the people who will call you up to go walk out under the moonlight at 10 p.m. Those are some of the best people. And they can be an important part of your life, the people who really devote themselves to successful beads and who know how to do it. Okay? So, as I said earlier, I think it's very important and strangely true. I have to think about this more, that if I think back on my life, I tend to remember my bead moments more than anything else. I don't think about, you know, my accomplishment when I made this money or got this promotion or, you know, heck, I've started businesses and done things. But what I really think about are those special moments. And like I said, when you go to a funeral, people don't usually say, oh, you know, my dad, you know, made $10 million, or my dad, you know, he won a lot of awards for his engineering. They say, my dad threw me a baseball when I was 5 years old, and I'll never forget it. It's amazing when you think about it.
That's very touching. Well, can I make a comment?
Please.
We'll hear a little more music after my comment. So, I mean, I think people out there think of me as humorous, jovial, maybe clownish, kind of fun guy, radio host. But, you know, that's actually all facade inside. It's just this bitter, grumpy old man, as you will see. This is a preamble to the comment I'm going to make. So in the new age, which I definitely emerged from, ashamedly, I admit to that, people have made a lot of money off of Be Here Now and Be in the Moment. You know, this is like some really important concept to this new kind of spirituality.
Yes.
And but the people really making money off it are just full of BS, because they're just greedy capitalists who are marketing this concept of, you know, presence. So it's definitely working its way into religion, but the real avatars of this are just terrible people.
There would be an interesting whole show about the difference between Western Zen and Eastern Buddhism. But that's a whole
and
other...
And it turns into this whole faux spirituality, performative, you know, put your hand on your chest and one on your belly and sit up straight and look very peaceful and yoga-like. It's just like some big theater of spirituality. But anyway, so that was the grumpy old man.
Mr. Grumpy Old Man.
Yeah, yeah.
That I think that it is a genuine responsibility of all of us to create beautiful bead moments for others, for each other, and that you work at that. So even though, you know, you're obviously bitter on the inside, you hide it well. Yeah, and you do good work. And It's part of keeping that river going, the whole river of civilization, with people staying cheerful.
Authentic bead moments. Here's some Joni Mitchell.
When morning comes to Morgantown, the merchants roll their awnings down. The milk trucks make their morning rounds in morning Morgantown. We'll rise up early with the sun to ride the bus while everyone is yawning and the day is young in morning Morgantown. Our tea and lemonade and watch the morning on parade in morning Morgantown. Ladies in their rainbow fashions, colored stop and go lights flashing, we'll wink at total strangers passing in morning Morgantown. Wooden bird with painted wings, a window full of colored rings in morning Morgantown. But the only thing I have to give to make you smile, to win you with, are all the morning still to live in morning Morgantown.
Enchanting Joni Mitchell, Morning Morgantown, off of her album called Ladies of the Canyon. Mystic Pete here with Mark Porter Zasada. The grumpy old man has been sent back to his room.
All right.
The jovial humorist is back at the mic.
Mystic Pete is back.
That's right. Pistic meat has been sent away. Mark, talk to me. Let's make it all make sense. Let's resolve everybody's lives who's listening to this right now in the next 10 minutes before we turn it over to Pat with Alien Air.
All right, we'll give it a shot. So we talk about quests, ladders, rivers, and beads, the different paradigms of success and failure. But let me introduce another concept. I have a podcast called Staying Human, stayinghuman.net, because I think that the great challenge for modern humans is to stay human in this moment. And there are a lot of aspects to that. People talk about it all the time. There's not just the threat from AI. There's the threat from the avalanche of information that distracts us endlessly. But I think one of the great threats to us is to become completely obsessed with success and failure. I'm not the first one to say that, and I won't be the last. And to me, the threat is not to not pursue important things. But it's to maintain a balance among those paradigms. There's a documentary that I think everyone should watch called The Weight of Gold by Michael Phelps, the great swimmer, in which he talks about winning gold medals and interviews gold medal winners from the Olympics and how in many ways it destroyed their lives often when they won the gold medal because they had their 15 minutes of fame and then now what? Or they had devoted their entire, to get to that point where you win a gold medal in the Olympics, you really have to devote your entire life to doing that thing. And Phelps talks about how he woke up one day and realized, you know, he was 30 and hadn't done anything but swim. And it's really quite a revealing documentary. So in philosophical terms, I'm going to use that term again from the philosopher Levinas, of being totalized, of becoming totally one thing. And we have to remember that so much of what we hear, advice from coaches and religious leaders and all kinds of people trying to influence us, is to try to get to totalize, completely devote yourself to your ladders, completely devote yourself to your quests, completely devote yourself to the river of some great movement in history, completely devote yourself to your own sparkling moments of beauty and the beads of life. And I think that it's all our responsibility to stay human by keeping that in balance. You know, it's Aristotle said the middle way is usually best. And he's probably right about so much of that. I think that people can find their own way of escaping the trap of obsessing about success and failure. I think that when done right, religion can be an escape from the trap of success and failure when done right. I think that when done right, art can be an escape, although art can often be an obsession with success and failure. And everything we do is dangerous, right? Everything you take on has its pitfalls. So you have to, but I think keeping that North Star of staying human, I think that's vital.
Very beautifully put. And I think that's a very humane statement. And I think belief in these coaches and inspirational speakers can really twist us up. And chasing success, most of us aren't going to get it anyway. And we're just tortured. We're losers because we're not achieving what they tell us. Look in the mirror in the morning and tell yourself you're a success and believe in yourself. All this nonsense. It's a bunch of hucksterism, but it's very kind to yourself to be gentle with yourself.
To be gentle with yourself. And one of the ways to stay human, by the way, I think is to go back and read great literature from the past, the classics. And in that great literature of the past, I think you're going to find two items which are so out of fashion, to use these words, that I'll lose half the audience just by saying these two words. And here they are, honor and duty. Those are two words that are so out of fashion. If your preacher said that to you, you wouldn't listen. Your teacher in school, they're so shocking.
It's not part of the conversation even.
It's not part of the conversation. Yeah. But truly, at different times in your life, you have different duties. You have different responsibilities throughout your life at different times, and you have different ways that you need to keep your honor throughout your life. So I'm just going to throw those two words out there, though I might lose my whole audience in saying them.
Well, I'll buy your book. But, you know, I think there's even been studies that show kids in high school who are big success, the prom king and queen, the football star, come back 10 or 15 years later, and they've done nothing with themselves because they made the mistake of believing they were special. And I think it's success can be, as portrayed, can be an albatross. It's not real. It's gone tomorrow. I mean, I had a million views on one of my videos on YouTube, and I thought, oh my God, suddenly, you know, 2 days later, who's this guy? It's like, it's ephemeral. It's nothing. It's empty.
It's ephemeral. I won't say it's nothing. I think accomplishing things is a good thing. I don't want to say it's not.
No, fair enough.
It's great.
Yes.
It's the avoiding the totalization. It's avoiding becoming nothing but your success or your failure.
Yes. People can reach you at?
So my website is stayinghuman.net. And yes, I will be releasing this book at some point, Quests, Ladders, Rivers, and Beads. I have a book out called The Impossible Shore.
That's a brilliant book, and we'll do a show on that one. It's fiction, stories.
It's
really a great book.
I like it. It won some awards in 2021 when it came out, and it explores some of these themes in a fictional kind of indirect way.
Well, people can reach me at mysticpete.com and Mystic Pete on social media. I'm on every Saturday night with a DJ show and Sunday night at 7 p.m. with Mystic Pete Chronicles, featuring the very best of talk radio. Thank you so much, Mark Porter Zasada, dear friend and really wonderful guest tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you.